When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Goes right. Oh!
Does anybody know how to post videos?
Welcome back in to the Drop Step Podcast. Home team Brandon Leak with the College Football Hall of Famer today. Joe Hamilton filling in, Super Bowl champion and star basketball player in South Carolina. We know about all that. Houston and the B-Dog, Brandon Harper. We're here. Got some stuff to get through. NBA playoff tournament. Good idea or bad idea? The NBA ratings are down. Not a matter of opinion, a matter of fact. We can give opinions why we think they're down. We'll get to that. James Harden and the Rockets, championship worthy or fool's gold? We'll get to that. And Trae Young is tired of this comparison. And that's to Luka Doncic. We'll start off with that. I think Trae's got to let that go. They're attached at the hip. It came in together. Both teams who made the trade needed something. They both made a swap. The Hawks technically have had both since they technically drafted Luka and traded him to the Dallas Mavericks. And those two guys are forever joined at the career. And even though it's bothersome, I'm sure you don't want to hear about another man all the time. Trae's doing great. He's going to have to understand they are linked together for the entirety of their careers.
Yeah, I'm sure Magic Johnson had an issue with always hearing about Larry Bird and vice versa. But you got to understand that when you're hooked at the hip, like those two were and like Trae and Luka are, you're going to have the media as well as Luka's playing and as well as Trae is playing. Luka's really killing stuff as well as Trae. Trae's just on a bad team. You're going to have people continuously ask, hey, you see Luka over there in the West? Luka, they're going to ask Luka, hey, you see Trae over there in the East? Because really with the Hawks now, it's about Trae and his individual stats right now. He's putting up good numbers, and that's what a lot of people are looking forward to. This team is bad. This team is not going anywhere. Whereas with Luka, he's putting up monster numbers, and this team has pretty much overachieved from where most people thought they would be out in the West. I think they're like 14-6. They ended the Lakers' 10-game winning streak in L.A. Look, man, I understand. You get tired of hearing about the same old dude all the time, but it's the league that you're in, and it is what it is.
You're only tired of hearing about it because you're on the losing end of this argument right now. That's the only difference. Because the Hawks are, second to last in the East, third worst record in the league right now, and Dallas is the fourth best record in the West, like, hello, here's the real thing. They're not talking to Luka about Trae anymore. They're talking about Luka and being MVP. They're talking about Luka and getting the Mavericks into the playoffs in his second year. They're talking about Luka and comparing him to Oscar Robertson and Russell Westbrook as far as triple doubles and putting up points, assists, and rebounds in this short of a time period. They're not talking to him about Trae. They're talking to Trae about Luka. Why? Because that was where you were supposed to be.
But I think even if Trae was winning, I still think he would get tired of hearing about Luka.
Well, I think that when it becomes the conversation and they're winning, then, yeah, we'll have that battle back again. But at this point in time, it's just you're going to have to be sick of it until y'all start doing something. But like you said, the Hawks roster right now, look at what it is. They can't do nothing.
My only wish is that for them to be in the same conference. For the true real deal. I want more of it. I don't know why Trae would try to elbow something like this, and you're almost fighting against yourself. And you mentioned Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. They embraced it. So they might have started off talking about, you know, I don't want to hear it from the East Coast or West Coast and a little bit of friction. But at the end of the day, they saw the big picture, you know, advertisement being one of them. And they said, why not? Because if you can't, which we all know that it's going to be joint at the hip for the 10 years, what you going to do? Keep saying this? But nobody's going to stop it? Embrace it. Say, yeah, I check out Luka. Yeah, I'm watching the stat sheet.
Hope because to meet him in the finals.
Yeah, because you know it can't really have any effect on you right now because you don't see them enough. You can only do what you got to do. You can't grow to be Luka Doncic to have it affect you that way. Yeah. But we all know now Trae Young is going to check the box, the stat box or stat sheet every single night to see what Luka is doing. And whether Luka is getting asked about it or not, he's also checking the stat sheet to see what Trae Young is
and
doing.
The thing about it is.
Yes.
This one is not as bad as Larry and Magic because not only were they hooked up at the hip, they're also on teams that are complete rivals of one another.
Correct.
Who completely hate each other just franchise-wise. Now you're taking that and compounding it, and then you're having these two hate each other, you know, wanting to see each other all the time and go upside each other's head whenever they get a chance. Magic has said it many times. Hey, when Larry saw me and I saw Larry, you know, we were cool, but once he got on that court, I wanted to knock him out. He wanted to knock me out, and that's just the way it was.
I think both guys are filling the role that their respective franchises wanted. The Hawks were completely blowing things up, starting from ground zero, from scratch, getting rid of everybody, gutting everything out, cleaning the floors, cleaning the windows, and building it piece by piece through the draft. Mark Cuban wanted an immediate heir apparent and replacement to Dirk Nowitzki, guy he had for 20 years, and get to winning right away. And so the Hawks did it through the draft and Trae Young, and it looks like a trade and veterans is how Mark Cuban wants to hurry up and get back. Kristaps Porzingis is a part of what the Mavericks are doing. And, you know, those two guys, I think you also have to look at, yes, it's different playing overseas, but it's not that different. Luka Doncic has been a professional ball player since he was 16. Kristaps Porzingis has been in the league for 5 years. The Hawks have 20-year-old Trae Young, 19-year-old Cam Reddish, 21-year-old DeAndre Hunter, 24-year-old Jabari Parker. The Hawks would be the youngest team in the league
if not for Vince Carter.
Carter for the second year.
Yeah.
So they're different teams, but both guys are serving the roles that their respective organizations wanted them to play. And I don't think anybody needs to be sensitive about anything, but Trey does need to understand they are forever linked, and whoever gets to the All-Star game first, whoever gets to the playoffs first, whoever wins or gets to the NBA Finals first, whoever wins a title first, that guy is going to be considered the better player.
But see, home team, the sensitivity comes when you look at upper management. Did they get the right guy? See, you got what you want, but did they get the right guy? See, when you talk about Dallas Mavericks and what they did, they targeted. You know, I'm saying right now that, you know, Mark Cuban or whoever's running the show out there, that they played, you know, Travis Schlenk for somewhat of a puppet.
It could be.
To get Luka Doncic, because whatever you want to build here in Atlanta, and I'm not playing hindsight because I love what Trae is doing, and I'd rather not, and that's why Trae is a little frustrated as well. Some of us, including me, can't totally give him his just due because I'm comparing him to Luka.
Well, he's losing.
Well, goodness, 28-8? From him?
But the Hawks are not winning. He's doing well, but the Hawks are not winning. Luka's doing well, and the Mavericks are winning.
And to my point about that argument, that if you had stayed with that pick, Luka Doncic, even with all the injuries that you're incurring now, whatever happens on this roster, getting rid of John Collins and all that, you would have a better record. Luka Doncic would make you an overall better team. Right where you sit in Atlanta, if you had drafted him instead of Trae Young, you would have been trending up faster.
Well,
the players around you would have been better.
Somebody made the point last year, the Mavericks went 8-4 in November. This year they went 9-5. So
are going 9-5.
Well, for the last month. So the point is, it's not like, even though they're in a better position, in my opinion, not hating on them, a lot of that has to do with how bad Portland is and how bad Golden State is. Those things are different, but Luka is taking advantage of that. Those guys are linked, and I just think they have a veteran team with Tim Hardaway Jr. and Kristaps Porzingis. He is a guy who's getting 9 rebounds a game. So when you got one guy getting 9 rebounds and Luka getting 10, in. 19 rebounds from two dudes makes a difference. The Hawks are missing their guy who has scored 19 and 9. That's the difference. Take Kristaps Porzingis off of the Dallas Mavericks. What's going on out there in Dallas?
I'll say this, though, because I think both teams got what they wanted, like you said, in each respective guy. They both fit where they are. It's a win-win situation, and you don't see a lot of those in the league, especially when it comes to trades like that. But we all know that one area, obviously, where Luka has the edge is on the defensive end of the floor. Many times when a veteran or an opposing point guard is going up against Trae Young, we always talk about how can we hide Trae somewhere to kind of fill his defensive deficiencies. With Luka, you don't have to worry about that because of his size and his ability to switch on multiple players. But you don't have to worry about him defensively.
Yeah, I'd harp. I'll let you have that a little bit because that's a discussion for another day. Luka is poor defensively. He's poor. He is poor.
Poor.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to look at it as far as the metrics, if you want to look at,
you can go around.
That's not his strong suit
at all.
So yeah, his height is a little different, but he is getting pointed out on that pick and roll. Mm-hmm. He is getting called out to where they want to get him involved in that, and he's better than Trae, and he'll work on it. So he's kind of slow footed. And defensively, not to say I'll take poor back. I'm sorry.
He didn't do anything poor.
I was wondering if he was going to work his way back to take poor back.
I'm sorry about that. He can get a little better defensively. But I get your point. And Trae's going to always be that way. And that's what we're going on offensively as well. As far as that, we think longevity-wise, Luka would be able, with his size, transform his game when he gets a little slowing of age, go down low, do those type things. He can see over guys and get a shot off. But with athletic ability somewhat get eroded for Trae Young, what is his go-to? Or what's going to be his go-to?
Well, I think what you're starting to see, and I like it early in his career when teams come out and trap him. I've seen guys try to pick him up three quarters court and just totally disrespect the man. Then they want to double team him and trap him. He's finding a way to find easy lobs and baskets for his teammates. So I like the fact, fine, you're gonna be the one today that stops Trae Young. I'm going to get a few more assists and I'm going to get some easy buckets for my team. So
hold on, Tom.
That's how you neutralize some of the adjustments being made.
What did you say? I remember you said this not too long ago. You said, look, if Trae turns out to be Allen Iverson,
which is what I think he is right now,
he said, that's great. He said, but if Luka turns out to be a mixture of LeBron James, or I forget the other person you mentioned, but if he just turns out to be LeBron,
Larry Bird.
He said, we got a problem.
If he's the combination of Larry Bird, LeBron James,
he said, we got a problem.
Dirk Nowitzki, and Steve Nash, Travis Schlink may need a motorcade and a peach pass to get in the express lane out of Atlanta. That's a huge, generational, once-in-a-lifetime mistake if it turns out to be that. But, you know, if Trae, who's, again, and I think it's the point that Joe's bringing out, the man scoring 28 points, handing out eight dimes.
Love it.
That superstar
it is.
Production.
45% clip from the field.
And he's making his free throws and getting to the free throw line. So he's in a position where only he, Luka Doncic, and LeBron James are the only players in the NBA scoring more than 28, handing out eight dimes.
Yep.
He is with those guys. So if he's frustrated about not getting that, you could kind of understand that. Don't worry about that, young fella, is what I tell him. You just keep scoring, keep doing what you do.
I think the worst thing is we could not be talking about you at all because you're the only one that we're talking about really when it comes to – they're talking about nationally when it comes to the Hawks. They could not be talking about the Hawks at – oh.
Which has been the problem over the last decade, that we just haven't had the player with the pizzazz and the superstar cachet to get you on SportsCenter more than once a month. You know, Trae Young is people are looking to see what he's doing, and he's getting a little love nationally.
Hey, y'all, we got plenty of ways for y'all to check us out, so make sure that you go subscribe on either Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, or even Shaq Fu Radio, which plays our podcast every Wednesday and Saturday night. You can also catch us on YouTube channels for the Drop Set Podcast, 680 The Fan, and Atlanta Sports X. And last but not least, make sure you check out the Drop Set on IG, Twitter, and Facebook.
Guy who's getting love nationally and been doing that, guy who is an MVP, James Harden, will he be one again? He looks like he's going to lead the NBA in scoring. Joe made up, brought up a good point on our show, the Home Team in Hamilton show here on the SportsX in Atlanta, that when have you seen the guy leading the NBA in scoring not be the MVP just outright? And that's going to happen. but I don't know if he's going to be the MVP outright. There's still something that people hold against James Harden, the way he's doing it, the volume in which he's doing it. He is just not universally loved as if it were Allen Iverson, Kobe, LeBron, any other leading scorer, Kevin Durant, any other leading scorer in the NBA.
Because he's a hard watch. It's a tough.
Joe is laughing at
it. Ugly. What? Look, the man.
But shouldn't we love it even if it's ugly?
Home team, he put up 50 the other night, went 11 of 38 from the field, which is atrocious, got to the line 24. Every time he touched the ball, he went to the line.
He's slowing down the game. It's him shooting free throws.
It's a snail out there. Slow is an understatement.
Oh, man. The reason why I'm laughing, home team, because we talk about the NBA ratings, right? How many times has Houston been on television?
A lot.
That's affecting the ratings.
That's a good point.
Because he just said it. And B-Dog, I agree. It's a bad watch. We're basketball guys in here, and we want to watch good basketball. When we talk about the Houston Rockets and an MVP, former MVP, well, two MVPs on the same team,
yeah,
exciting to watch, that would be a game we would all want to tune into. But I couldn't agree with my buddy B-Hop any more than I do. I can't watch it. It's not fundamentally sound. It's not the science of basketball. And you mentioned the amount of shots he took. I think Westbrook took 30 shots. And none of those shots, or very few of those shots, came where they were coming off of down screens, rolling to the basket, catch and shoot. They dribbled for 5 seconds and then put the shot up. It's just hard.
Very hard. Field goal percentage since the merger. For anybody that scored 50 points, he had the lowest field goal.
Did you come to me with something that the Sandman should come and boo off the stage when there was even talk about who was the better MVP, better scorer? They didn't even say MJ. They said
Kobe.
Kobe.
They kept
James Harden and Kobe.
I said, James.
That's why you booed her off the stage. That's not a discussion.
I saw it on social. I said, is this a real question? There is no person who sits there and actually watches basketball that will sit there and say that James Harden is a better scorer than Kobe Bryant.
Well, and I just said I'm not defending because I'm with y'all. It just, I want to like it and I can't. And You're right.
Don't subject yourself to that
crap. You're right, B-Dog. And I just don't want to just kill the man because he's a fantastic scorer. And if he were on my team, I would like it. I would like somebody who could put up 50 or 60 points in the same week.
No, you won't because you want championships.
You want to win at the end of the day.
And you wouldn't want that play. You wouldn't want to see him at the top of the key, dribble, 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 and then two at the corner at the top, and then two sitting at the baseline corners, and they just sitting there watching.
You would not want that. Hibbity hop, bibbity bop, flop. Yeah, you're right. That gets us to the next question, Joe Hamilton. Is this a championship capable team now, or is it fool's gold? The man goes for 60 and 3/4 last week against the Hawks. He goes for 50 on not a great shooting night in a loss in double overtime. When you get to the playoffs, I don't think that's going to cut the mustard.
D'Antoni still is on the sideline. Mike D'Antoni, Coach D'Antoni, and that's a problem. He's allowing it to go. B-Hop just talked about it right there that when these are at the top of the key, this is hippity hop, bibbity bop, you said flop.
Flop.
Nobody's moving. Nobody's running the baseline. You don't see any away screens to try to make a cut, backdoor cut, anything.
Nope.
They're just sitting there watching him do his dance, and that's not a recipe.
And James Harden wasn't alone. Russell Westbrook went 7 of 30. Ooh.
You should see his 30 shots.
And Harden shot 38 times. So two guys shot the ball 68 times in an NBA game.
They're a first round out, depending on who they play.
Good call.
They are first round because they're the one team that I don't see adjusting or changing anything from now to the playoffs.
And they don't stop anybody.
Order for them to adjust, you got to ask James Harden to adjust his game. And what James Harden's going to say, hell, I want MVP playing like this. We can win 55 games playing like this. We got to the playoffs playing like this. Why do I have to change anything if I've been able to accomplish what I have accomplished so far? Well, then some people will say, well, you hadn't won a championship playing the way you're playing.
What separates him from the reigning NBA Player of the Week in the Western Conference, Carmelo Anthony? Well, I mean, I know in James Harden, he's got one MVP. He's got an MVP, so I know that's one that can separate him. But other than that, are we calling James Harden a winner?
He's
not. Are we calling him an overall team player?
They've both been to the Western
Conference
Finals.
Dare I say old school? We all old school. Can I call James Harden a ball hog?
Yes.
Can I call James Harden not willing to sacrifice his thighs and his back as far as getting bending on the other side of the court defense? Can I say he's lacking a little bit of defensive effort?
He's deceptive, and let me tell you why. Hold on. I agree with you 1,000%. But then somebody would turn around and say, well, he put up 50 points, got 8 assists. How is he a ball hog?
He shot it 38 times.
No, I agree, but I'm playing devil's advocate here, because I'm telling you what some people will say. How can a ball hog have 50 points and have at the same time 8, 9, even 10 assists?
Because when you're that hot, all right, when you
is it hard to pass the ball 8, 9, 10 times in a game?
It's not, but your guy has to make it in order for you to get
and
the assist.
And also remember,
so that means
when
your assist
would
be way higher if they're making it. So either way it goes. You're a ball hog not because – oh, you're a ball hog because you're taking 38 plus shots and you're not even making 30% of them.
Yes,
that's what's making you a ball hog, because you're not producing at an effective rate, and yet you're still chucking it up.
Right.
8 assists, who cares about that? Yeah, you pass the ball 8 times in a game.
No, you pass the ball more than that.
Way more than that, and it just so happens that 8 people made a shot.
It's not playmaking assists. That's what it is. That's what you're looking for. It's not playmaking assists. And if that ball is going through the basket 5 times in a row that we know he can get hot, the next time down court, what's the coach going to do? Blitz him. And when you blitz him, all he's got to do is dip one to the wing. Somebody rises up and nails that 3. That's an assist. But it's just a gimme assist to me.
Well, you brought up a point about the ratings being down and the Rockets be on TV as a part of it. I have several theories. I think the overarching theory for me is this is a residual effect of the super team stuff. That, yeah, everybody says, you know, you're a free agent, you should be able to do what you want to do. But now we've seen where Anthony Davis forced himself out of a place. He was supposed to be leading New Orleans into the future after just taking them to the playoffs a few years ago. And I think what we're seeing is everybody ended up in the Western Conference, and now there are no superstars, less Giannis, in the East. So you have an entire conference, an entire coast of teams that don't have a superstar. And when you start to look at those markets, when you start to look at Boston and Chicago and Cleveland and Miami, those are in Washington, D.C., those are major markets where people like basketball, and you're not having a star player on national TV on a regular basis. Good for the guys who got their money, living their lives. Ultimately, the league is going to have to look into some of this, because I think this, and maybe it's an anomaly, this is a result of some of what has gone on with this super team teaming up stuff.
I think it's more, just like you said, there aren't any superstars at all in the East. We got the primetime slots. Like, I'm sorry, I can't stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning to watch West Coast games all the time. So when it comes to the East Coast games, like, turn on TV, and unless it's Milwaukee, what name am I out there really saying, like, yo, I gotta sit here and watch him? I'm sorry, I don't feel that way about Kemba. I definitely don't feel that way about Kyrie Irving and what he's been having going on in Brooklyn.
You won't feel that way about him yet until Kevin Durant.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying. That's Kevin Durant.
Right.
Okay, that's not because of Kyrie. I mean, if Kyrie wasn't on the Brooklyn Nets, if it was Kevin Durant playing, it's Kevin Durant.
And that's a part of it, too.
You know what I'm saying? Joel Embiid. Yeah, you got a big mouth, and you put some good games out there. But I'm sorry, I'm not that interested yet.
Like, the East is littered with it has more stars. It has one superstar.
Yeah, I'm talking about superstar.
And can we get away? And can we get away with good matchups on Christmas Day? Good matchups in the East on Wednesday. For instance, Boston Celtics against the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, they don't have any superstars in that, but can we get away with watching a good, solid game? Or even you throw Toronto in there, back in there when Kyle Lowry comes back. Can you watch that they are champions and they might be going up against, you know, the Miami Heat?
Those
are guys that are sneaking up on them guys.
This season, Boston and Philly, though you may only have one, you may not have some superstars in there, it's a better watch than in the West when you're watching Portland and Utah. Those two teams aren't necessarily you got Dame Lillard, you got
You're right, but don't throw Portland and Utah in there. Throw Utah, because Portland is struggling. Throw Utah and the Jazz.
The Jazz, yeah.
The two winning guys. See, we're trying to maximize this thing. Even if we throw you great matchups, are you willing to watch it? because that's a great playoff matchup. You can see both of those teams making it, as we speak right now, to the Western Conference semifinals or something like that. Will we be entertained?
Well, you need to entertain more than the hardcore fan, and that's the problem. The defending champion Raptors, I mean, it's a great story, but they don't have Kawhi Leonard anymore. Christmas Day, we're going to get them playing the Celtics. And the Celtics don't have a superstar. Kemba Walker is nice. He's not a superstar.
You'll watch one game on Christmas, and that's the Lakers and the Clippers.
That's it. 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
The other four games don't matter much. The Nuggets and the Pelicans, maybe Zion Williamson will be back.
He won't be back.
Maybe he won't. Celtics and Raptors, Bucks and 76ers might have a little bit of entertainment value. Rockets and nobody on the Warriors, and that's due to injury. And I think that has something to do with it, too. The fact that the Warriors are out of it, I think people were starting to get tired of them. So they were becoming the Yankees of the NBA. So you would watch them nationally now to get beaten. But now there's no Steph, there's no KD, there's no Clay, there's no Draymond. That team is over. You need to have superstars. And I hate to be the old guy in the room, but I like being the old guy in the room sometimes. You need to have these guys going up against one another so we can have competition. The fact that the Lakers are going to roll and lose 12 games this year, and the Clippers are going to be the second game, we already know who's in it. It's kind of what Charles Barkley said a couple of years ago. There are only four teams in it. And if you have a league where everybody's played 82 games and only four teams matter, you're going to get these numbers where you're down 23% on some of these nationally televised games. You need to have superstars in Cleveland, Chicago, Miami, God willing, Orlando. Look at the Lakers. The Lakers have three number one picks.
Right.
You know, in a dream world, Dwight Howard would still be in Orlando. Anthony Davis would be with the Pelicans, and LeBron James would try to be beating both of them. All three of those guys are on the same team.
Yeah, that is true. It's the product of the players' league. Almost basically the opposite of what the NFL is. It's players, when they're free agents, it's the product of being free. It's the product of being wooed. It's the product of going from place to place, hearing people pitch certain things, wanting to feel wanted. And then even if they decide to go back to their own team, it's the process of, hey, I'm free. I can go do what I want, you know, when I want, and see what these other teams are willing or wanting to give me in order to make my decision of where I want to go play.
And you also have the buy-in of the hometown team. More fans are willing or want to watch their boys put on a show. Because I tell you now, if you look at Tuesday, if the Hawks are on, or Wednesday on a showcase Wednesday when the NBA is on, or even Thursday, if the Hawks are playing, I'm going to turn into Fox Sports South more often to get the Hawks playing and go back and forth to the national game.
And the Hawks ratings
here locally.
Hawks ratings are up 43%, a big jump. Yeah.
That's it. And you might be getting the same thing from down in Miami,
I'm sure their numbers are up locally.
Sure.
People are interested in what's going on. That's a very good point.
And wait till Zion gets back. Oh, my Lord.
Right, exactly. So what I'm hoping, in a perfect world, this is just a phase and it'll stop, because Anthony Davis is going to win and be able to win with the Lakers. He would be able to win with the Celtics. He'd be able to win with Jimmy Butler in the Heat, even if he was playing with another all-star. You know, at some point, it is a players' league, but you know, you look at the NFL, and the NFL is king because there aren't super teams, that you have superstars dispersed around the 32 teams. Everybody, when it starts, feels like they have a chance. Everybody has the same chance to win in theory, and there's not one or two teams ganging up all the talent. It comes down to execution, fortune, coaching, and how you run your organization.
And also, it's the way the game of football is played. With basketball, even though it's a team game, it is an individual sport. It's highlighted by individual stats. I can have a superstar wide receiver, but that's a dependent position. I need a quarterback to get me the ball. So I can have Julio, Antonio Brown, and D-Hop on the same team, but if I don't have a quarterback that can at least count to 10 and get the ball to him, then it doesn't matter what my star power looks like at certain positions, because you have dependent positions in the league.
Great,
so it's totally different from the NBA.
Great point, Big Dog. And one thing about the NBA, I trust. You said just probably a little, you know, something they're going through right now. Adam Silver, He's trying to figure it out.
Oh, yeah.
He's brainstorming every idea as we speak to try to get more balance, more parity, and he knows all about it being a player's league. So I think he's in good hands as far as making the necessary adjustments to get more balance.
And some of it is, just some of the logistics. The NBA a few years ago signed that 10-year deal with ESPN and with TNT, and it was a $24 billion deal over 10 years. So you're talking about getting $2 billion a year. Who wouldn't? That's a great deal. The problem is, and Mark Cuban has pointed to this, that you took the money, which you should have, but now your games are locked into ESPN and TNT. I think another thing is these TNT games on Thursday, they're going up with NFL football on Thursday night, and yep. There have been some really good games. You got some good quarterbacks, some interesting endings to games as well. The NBA is going up against the NFL, and it's not winning right now.
But used to be able to win that battle because Thursday night football games would be trash.
Right. Usually.
So you could just go to the NBA game and just watch that because it would at least be entertaining. So, yeah, but now, like, we've had Lamar Jackson on right. Thursday night football showing out and stuff. So it's like, ain't nobody paying attention to Thursday.
Now you got the Cowboys this week.
That's right.
I hate to say it, but ESPN's, coverage isn't, the most entertaining, in my opinion. So it doesn't keep me glued on to them the whole show. So
whereas with TNT, whether even if it's a bad game, I can still watch inside the NBA and still be amused and catch them in at the beginning of the game. Maybe I can catch them at halftime and then catch them at the end of the day because of their amazing interaction with one another and camaraderie and the fun that they have on that set.
And they're also saying that, not having the exposure that the NFL has. The NFL's on regular TV every week, so you always have it in your face, getting it in your face a little bit more. And people are going to YouTube just looking at the highlights, see James Harden hit a couple of shots, and that's it. They're not streaming a game or watching a game on regular TV, and that's something they have to figure out when they get to the end of that contract.
They're going to have to find out what they're going to do with technology because, the thing is you could see the whole game within 5 minutes of highlights and feel like you saw everything that you need to see, so people aren't actually paying attention to the
I was
full
out.
Two, three.
I was out hours. Wednesday.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Monday, and I was streaming the Monday Night Football game on my phone.
Right.
Right there on Twitter. Just hit or Yahoo. I was on Yahoo, just hit the live button, and I'm watching the game, watching the end of the game. So The NBA has to get in on that, and I don't think they can do that with some of the contractual obligations they're locked into.
And there's something to be said about 82 and then 16.
Well, that's
you
true.
Feel that you can't miss an NFL game because all of a sudden it's gone. Mm-hmm. But you can almost wait to what we always say after the All-Star game, All-Star break is when we really kind of tune in.
At least after Christmas.
That's right. Yep.
Final thing. The NBA playoff tournament they've been talking about for a few years. Another caveat coming in where teams that are outside of the playoffs, the teams that look like they're headed for the lottery, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 and 14, having a midseason tournament where you look at their records and whoever has the best record at the end of the season. And then they're talking about maybe giving somebody a playoff spot, awarding one of those teams that would have been out in, and maybe also giving them a draft pick if they win the midseason tournament. I think that adds to competition and makes it good for the teams that would have been out and their season would have been over mid-April, at least getting a couple of home playoff games when they, in years past, would not have gotten that opportunity.
So will that make teams who are in, the 7th and 8th spot try to, not necessarily tank, but just kind of skid out so that way they can get into the tournament, and that way they can still end up making the playoffs but then also getting the draft picked as well?
Well, you don't want a bunch of – you're already dealing with people don't want to watch a lot of it now nationally. When your team is out, people don't go down to the games if they're bad. And you don't want a situation where they're empty arenas. If you can get two more teams, sneak somebody in and give, the number one seed in the East a first round bye and let some teams have a playoff game, at least you get a little bit more interaction with the fans and you just don't have people who are just out.
Okay.
I'll say this from a fan's perspective and even from a media's perspective, that is something I would like to see because it's interesting, it's different. But on the flip side, I'm just taking a guess. As a player, I don't know if they would be up for this. I don't think players really care about playing for anything else than what they're playing for right now.
That's bad.
But that's the thing. You get the extra.
If you don't want to go to the playoffs, what are you doing?
You're getting the extra chance to play for the playoffs.
And you get a playoff check.
But true.
That's good enough for me right now.
I get it. But I just feel as – and I said, I could be completely wrong. and this is just me speculating, but I feel as though some players are like, look, we play for the championship now. If we can't get in the playoffs with the format we got now.
With 82 games, if I can't make it in,
I mean, it's like
you're
switching things out of getting certain teams in that probably shouldn't even be there in the first place. I don't think players really care about playing for anything, a mid-season tournament. I don't care. I don't think they care about none of that.
I feel you, B-Dog. I certainly do. But what if you keep it to where eventually this is going to end up being 82 of them? All right, so I know I'm all in that the players they wouldn't want more. But if you end up cutting 82 games back to 76, 74, however you do it, and then have that in-season tournament, then ask them to play eventually what's going to add up to be 82 games, that's what they want. Don't ask me to be doing extra. But if you can ask them to keep the same load, you wouldn't even know that you played more games, and then you have something else of a totality. Because if you look at some of these superstars, they should care about the game a little bit. And I think they do. Most of them, like LeBron, we know, Chris Paul, a part of it. Everybody, they're ambassadors of their game, NBA, big time. So I think they would be willing to do, in some cases, what's best for the fans.
And I think that ultimately that's where it comes. The NBA's been in a good place because of the people before the guys now building up the league.
Yes.
And playing 82 games and having battles in the playoffs and doing those things has gotten the league where it's on TNT, on ESPN, on ABC, getting people who weren't used to going to NBA arenas going in there. So I think this next group of superstars, they have to be good stewards of the game, like LeBron, like Chris Paul, and do what they can so that the league stays profitable, because the second stuff starts to dip and the money and the eyes aren't there, that's when the league is going to change, and you don't ever want to go backwards when you got a good thing going.
Well, Joe, I'll say this to your point about them eventually doing good by the fans. Well, if that's the case, they wouldn't be doing load management now. If it was for the fans, if the fans paid a certain amount of money to come see said player, and you're doing and we come to see Kawhi on load management, that's not beneficial for the fans on their side because they paid the money to come to see who they want to see. So we're talking about getting to the point where you're doing what's best for the fans. They don't even want to do what's best for the fans now. We're doing what's best for my team and what's beneficial for them down the stretch.
Fine line. You got the King of the King James saying that he would never do it.
Right.
So it's a fine line. Right. And then we got Kawhi and what Kawhi is doing.
It's worked for me.
Right. And he's a champion. So fine line.
They have a lot to work out, and we'll work it out with them as we go along the road. We'll be back next time. I want to say shout out to Shaq Fu Radio, Spotify as well. This is episode 40 of the Drop Step Podcast for B-Dog Houston, College Football Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champ, Joe Hamilton. I'm Home Team. We'll see you next time on the Drop Step Podcast.
We out.
Already. Hey, y'all, we got plenty of ways for y'all to check us out, so make sure that you go subscribe on either Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, or even Shaq Fu Radio, which plays our podcast every Wednesday and Saturday night. You can also catch us on YouTube channels for the Drop Set Podcast, 680 The Fan, and Atlanta Sports X. And last but not least, make sure you check out the Drop Step on IG, Twitter, and Facebook.